The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Very, 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 very exciting guest right now, Dr. Peter McCullough. He is someone who came to the attention of the general populace recently when he spoke for 3 hours to Joe Rogan. And interestingly, Joe Rogan was listening for all 3 hours. It went viral, as they say, metaphorically, not in the medical sense, because Dr. McCullough is a very well-respected physician in the Dallas area, cardiologist, who has some things to say about the so-called pandemic, these vaccines, all very interesting and important, and we're glad to have him. Dr. McCullough, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me. You know, as introduced, I'm a practicing internist and cardiologist. I'm also trained in epidemiology, and I spend about half of my time in clinical practice and then half the time as an author and an editor of a major journal in a clinical investigator. So I do research. And I have, you know, my whole career been dedicated to, you know, the science of medicine and advancing medicine. So when COVID-19 hit, I knew this was a big task, and it was going to take many, many specialists across a variety of medical specialties, infectious disease, hematology, oncology, cardiology, since the virus was such a broad-ranging pathogen that it was going to take all hands on deck. And so, as you've mentioned, I've contributed academically to the pandemic response. I have over 50 papers on the pandemic, including the two seminal papers on how to treat COVID-19 to avoid hospitalization and death.
To avoid hospitalization and death. I always try to avoid hospitalization, and sometimes I also try to avoid death. Most people listening, I think, have so far successfully avoided death. It's kind of a big thing in life to avoid death. And so when you talk about this, I have to joke, because how outrageous that anybody needs to even mention this. We assume, those of us who are not doctors, kind of assume this is what doctors do. They help us to avoid death and further illness. But you've gotten considerable, really startling pushback from some people who I guess consider themselves authorities. If they don't like what you say, they label it misinformation. This, to me, is the real headline and the real bad news in America today. But let's get to the specifics before we get to why some people would label some of what you said misinformation. What is it that you're saying that you know to be true that some people don't like to hear? I mean, let's start with the vaccine. I have read enough to make me think that for most people, the idea of getting the vaccine is a bad idea, and that it was developed under emergency circumstances, kind of like, okay, we've got the Black Death coming, we're going to lose a third of our population, let's do anything we can to get something to help people. Where we are today, to me, seems dramatically different. I've heard a lot of anecdotal information about deaths and debilitating results, probably or at least potentially, from the vaccine. So wisdom would seem to say don't take it, but there's this big push for everyone to take it. What's your response?
I published an op-ed in The Hill last year in August of 2020, before the vaccines ever came out. And I agree with you, Eric. I said the vaccines were a bad idea because they were genetic transfer technology programs. They actually installed the gene into the body that makes the dangerous spike protein, that actually we cause the body to make a dangerous foreign protein that damages the brain, the heart, causes blood clotting. It's a very dangerous idea. It's an uncontrolled production of spike protein for an uncontrolled duration of time. It's very different than a tetanus shot. A tetanus shot is a set amount of tetanus toxoid, and that's it. And so the tetanus shot or the hepatitis B shot is a known defined entity. The COVID-19 vaccines are completely uncontrolled, and there must be some people who take up a lot of genetic material or strategically in critical organs, and the spike protein causes damage and death. And our FDA agrees. The FDA, you know, has official warnings for Pfizer and Moderna causing heart damage, for Johnson & Johnson causing blood clots, causing paralysis. And with any product, there's risks and benefits. So the vaccines always must be presented with risks and benefits. To give you an idea, for a widely used product, if we got to five deaths that were unexplained immediately after taking the product, it would get a black box warning. If we got to 50 deaths, it'd be off the market. It'd be off the market. We passed those limits with the vaccine January 22nd of last year. January 22nd. We are already over the line. The program should have been stopped for excess death. Now we've raised up to 21,000 deaths in the CDC VAERS system, half of which are known to be domestic cases. We've got a CMS whistleblower lawsuit where they think from CMS data, the number of deaths after the vaccine for the whole country was 45,000 in the early summer. And now we got a paper from Columbia, Pantazatos and Seligman. They think the number really could be now through December, 178,000 Americans losing their lives after the vaccine, literally within a couple days of taking it.
Okay, look, this sounds like madness. In other words, in a civilized society, if something like this were perpetrated, the people behind it would go to jail, and the people whose family members died would want to kill them personally. But since we live in a civilized society, we would go to the courts and we would say these people must be put behind bars. What they have done is unconscionable. It would be unconscionable if they weren't doctors. If they're doctors who've taken the Hippocratic Oath, it's the more horrific. How do you suppose we have gotten to a place? What do you think is the mechanism or what are the reasons that we could come to a place where you know that people have died because of the vaccine and somehow that information is being called misinformation?
The CDC puts out the data, and we can go to openvaersdata.com and look at the weekly overlay. So the CDC is showing the death count as it continues to mount, and there are published papers, one by Rose, one by McLachlan, early in the pandemic, showing 86% of the deaths have no other explanation outside they've taken the vaccine. So Americans, despite the suppression of information, they know this risk is real. And so vaccine rates plummeted in mid-April. No one's wanted to take the vaccines. They were offering million-dollar raffles, hot dogs, beer, a trip to the brothel. Now, nobody would take the vaccines. So that's the reason why they're mandated. You know, we don't have to have mandates for the meningococcal vaccine for college kids or hepatitis B vaccine. We all accept safe vaccines. I think the word is out on the street. People know the vaccines are grossly unsafe and they can lose their life shortly after taking one of them.
Well, there were a number of articles recently about how the vaccines are affecting menstrual cycles, bizarre things like this that I'm reading about. And I'm thinking, my goodness, why would a young person take a vaccine that could wreak havoc with future reproductive health? Why is it being pushed on the young? What do you suppose is behind that?
The young, the risks are unique. It probably depends on blood flow, but there was a biodistribution study done by Pfizer for the Japanese regulatory authorities that showed the vaccines, the lipid nanoparticles, hyperconcentrate in the ovaries while they tend to wash out of the other organs. So it's no surprise there's menstrual irregularities. There was a animal study done by Moderna for the EMA showing reduced fertility in animals with the vaccine. So it's very plausible that the vaccines are going to cause not only menstrual irregularities, but later on problems with fertility, particularly with repeated injections, because we know the spike protein is produced there in the ovaries. It damages the ovarian cells and tissues. And you get to a certain limit of tissue injury, there's going to be basically gametogenesis failure to produce eggs. We know in men, young men, the risk is myocarditis or heart inflammation. The heart takes up a tremendous blood flow. The androgens are developing the heart muscle. Men have a risk of myocarditis that's astronomical. The paper from Kaiser Permanente demonstrated the numbers between 400 and 500 young men ages 18 to 24 is the peak per million will develop myocarditis. The background rate that we ever see with myocarditis with a viral infection is about 4 per million. And so we know that the trade-off, Tracy Hogue from UC Davis has published it, a young man is far more likely to be hospitalized with myocarditis and suffer permanent heart damage or cardiac death than ever get hospitalized with COVID-19 in the respiratory.
This is sickening, but we've got to hear this. We're going to be right back talking to Dr. Peter McCullough. Don't go away. And this bird you cannot change.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Folks, I'm talking to Dr. Peter McCullough. Dr. McCullough, you made headlines when you were on Joe Rogan's program talking about this kind of thing. And I think the word is out on the streets, to quote Starsky and Hutch, my favorite crime drama of the 70s. The word is out on the streets that these vaccines are not good and that probably you shouldn't get them. Why do you see the pushback? You're a doctor. Why do you suppose the medical community has been practically supine? They simply have not been willing, apart from you and a few other doctors, been willing to face the medical facts and to speak from that point of view.
There's been a tremendous flow of money from the federal government to healthcare institutions through what's called COVID relief funding that has a lot of FAQs or a lot of strings attached. And one of them is to strongly promote the vaccine. In fact, it's called regulatory capture. And in many ways, these systems are captured. There's also, I think, a great fear among physicians and healthcare providers of the virus. Despite there's never been a major hospital outbreak of COVID-19, there hasn't been well-documented cases of physicians transmitting the virus back and forth to patients. The only area where we really had clear healthcare worker patient outbreaks was in nursing homes. My view on this is that vaccination should have been limited to nursing home residents, nursing home workers, and maybe high-risk seniors. But this broad-based vaccine program has opened up really a situation where there's little benefit and a great opportunity with large numbers to accrue harm, what's called vaccine injuries and vaccine-associated deaths. And to make matters worse, mass vaccination has promoted the hyper-dominant mutants, including the Delta and now the Omicron strain.
You think the vaccinations, the mass vaccinations, has push the disease forward rather than ending the disease generally?
Yeah, that's true. We knew before vaccination, we always had a blend of mutant strains or different strains. It was called variants of interest and then variants of concern, which is perfectly fine. There should be variation in nature. But once we have a vaccine and one of the strains can figure out how to beat the vaccine, it will become the hyper-dominant strain. That's happened with Delta. And I can tell you, as a treating doctor, Delta was very hard to treat. It affected younger people. It was very invasive. It was a long illness. And now we have Omicron. Omicron has actually learned how to beat natural immunity and vaccine immunity. And now Omicron is touching everybody. Fortunately, Omicron is less invasive, tends to have no pulmonary symptoms. It's like a head cold. And in a sense, Omicron is almost like Mother Nature's booster for both the naturally immune and those who have taken the vaccine.
Wow. I think what I'm struck by most is what looks like a cavalier attitude on the part of government officials and medical leaders with regard to death? In other words, if you're talking in the abstract, you know, like Orson Welles riding the Ferris wheel in Vienna in the third man, looking down at these abstract people moving. They don't have any humanity. They're just dots moving. And if one stops moving, who cares? It seems to me that what we expect from doctors in particular, among some has gone away. In other words, these are just numbers to them when we hear about deaths. What do you think could account for that? I mean, it's something that is very troubling. That's putting it mildly to me, and I think to most people in America who have always looked to doctors as a class of professionals that we respected profoundly.
Matthias Desmet, the psychology professor at the University of Ghent, and now Dr. Mark McDonald, psychiatrist in L.A., they think we're in a mass formation psychosis, that in fact we've fulfilled all the criteria. We've had a prolonged period of having isolation. With number two, we've had things taken away from us. We enjoy number three. We have constant free-floating anxiety, like President Biden's most recent statement about a long, dark, deadly winter. And then number four, the capper, we've had a single solution presented by an entity of authority, the vaccine. And in mass psychosis, the solution is so absurd. It would be like one of these religious cult mass suicides, where you end the situation by, in a sense, everyone taking their lives. Or in Nazi Germany, you have a situation where you have genocide and people walk into gas chambers. And remember, in these examples, the physicians are easily in the mass psychosis, that in a sense, they are agents of the crimes against humanity that are being performed.
You've been on the record saying that you actually think that the pandemic was planned to some extent, that there were people who knew this was coming. I don't know what evidence we have of that, but it's horrifying even to contemplate. What are your views on that idea?
You know, it's not my idea, but my scholarship. But I'd point you to Peter Bregan and Ginger Bregan, COVID-19 and the Global Predators. We Are the Prey. That book has it's nonfiction. It's written. It's pinpoint in terms of its citations. There's no doubt about it that there were planning seminars by Johns Hopkins saying it's going to be a coronavirus. It's going to hit America. This was back in 2017. They published their proceedings. There's no doubt about it that Moderna and Pfizer and all the companies were ready. They're actually preparing vaccines against a coronavirus long before it ever left the lab. And it's a complex web of governments. And
I guess the question is, how's that anything, but just playing devil's advocate, how's that anything but good business? They're saying this is happening. We want to be ahead of the curve. But what do you see that's more nefarious than greed or that kind of thinking?
I mean, it's one of two options. It's either very good planning and very good pandemic planning, or it's something that was leveraged. And no one will know until the full sets of investigations are done here. But it is uncanny how so many stakeholders knew a coronavirus pandemic was going to hit the world.
Do you think Dr. Fauci was involved in gain-of-function research in Wuhan, and that the American taxpayers helped to fund the creation of what ends up being this deadly virus?
Yeah, I've been to China five times, and I've been in some of the Chinese labs and these research centers. I can tell you this much. They didn't need any money. China has plenty of money. So U.S. funding to a China lab, in my view, is immaterial. I think what the Chinese needed is they needed intellectual property to make the virus far more invasive and far more lethal. That's what happened at the what's called furin cleavage joint. And all that seems to be between entities in the United States, the National Institutes of Health, and the Wuhan lab in virology. So I think the U.S. was involved, in a sense, in the creation of this terrifying virus.
The question is always, what were the intentions? In other words, it's one thing, you know, to ride science to the edge of the cliff, and it's another to do that intentionally, knowing the risks and saying we don't care about the risks and being cavalier. It seems to me that Fauci and others in moving along with this gain of function research, they simply didn't think it could go wrong, it could escape from the lab. I guess that's, to me, that's the safest interpretation, but that it did. and that somebody needs to be held to account. Do you think that there are people who need to be held to account, and who are they?
Yeah, well, that's kind of goes along with what Scott Atlas thinks. He has a book out about the pandemic response, and about the White House. He was on the inside. I've had a chance to have dinner with Scott and go over it with him. He thinks that the players, if you will, at the federal agencies, he thinks they're just incompetent, that they did. Things got way out of control, way over their head. He thinks they don't understand the data and that they're far behind in understanding what's going on with the pandemic. And it was just easier for them to adopt a talking point that is take the vaccine and don't ask any questions. They really don't know the data on vaccine safety and efficacy. They don't understand how this rapid fire development of these various strains and what's going on. So, he thinks it's a crisis of incompetence. Other people think that, boy, they must know everything and they're held accountable. Obviously, Senator Rand Paul is going after them very hard. Reiner Fulmich, the attorney in Germany, has filed crimes against humanity. We'll have to see all this coming out through, investigations
well,
and court cases.
In the short term, and I think you've said this, and it's my opinion that what happened early on was that what could have cured people was being discouraged. There were protocols in hospitals and so on and so forth, so that even though doctors said, I would give my patient ivermectin, I would do this, that somehow they were pressured not to do those things. And because of that, people died. And then the numbers of those who died were used as a cudgel to say, this is dangerous, shut up and do what you're told.
I agree with that interpretation. This will have to be my last answer. But I agree with that interpretation. I think it was very intentional. The suppression of hydroxychloroquine and the statements of the FDA were very intentional, overt, and now with ivermectin, the American Medical Association has announced an official campaign to abolish the use of ivermectin. Abolish the use. Now, this is a drug that's first line in Mexico, South America, across India, and Japan. So we've never had the American Medical Association, which is not a treating organization, which is more like a political action organization. We've never had the American Medical Association try to change American prescribing practices. So you're right. These are case examples of things being far out of line. Doctors needed support to do everything they could to save lives, and they never got it. In fact, they have received a lot of headwind.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Holy guacamole. I'm talking to Dr. Peter McCullough. Folks, by the way, before we go back to Dr. McCullough, Albert and I thought we would take a quick break here. We've got, I think, about 90 seconds left with Dr. McCullough. But before we go back to him, I want to make two announcements while we have everybody's attention.
Yes.
Now they have to listen because they're like, what does Dr. McCullough have to say next? It's like, well, will you hold out, hold your horses, because before we let you listen to the last 90 seconds of Dr. McCullough, we've got two things to share, at least. Number one, after Dr. McCullough, we were going to talk to Kevin McCullough just to confuse you, to talk about current events. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll do that. Or we might talk to Naomi Wolf.
Yes.
We have them both here today. So we don't know if we're going to continue talking about pandemics and that stuff, or if we're going to talk current events, we don't know. But this we do know.
Yes.
We have a couple of days left in the CSI campaign.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who have not yet, and folks, you know who you are. And I know you're embarrassed, but I don't want you to be embarrassed. I want you to be guilty. There's a difference. And I want you to let your guilt motivate you.
Yes.
I want you to push through and go to MetaxasTalk.com. This is so easy. We're asking for nothing. Whatever you can give, $10, $25, $50, whatever you can give to free slaves in Sudan. We've made the case before. CSI, Christian Solidarity International, is on the ground in that part of Africa where people are currently enslaved. It is a monstrous evil, but you can do something about it. We ask you, we beg you, participate, do anything, do what you can. Go to MetaxasTalk.com now, please, MetaxasTalk.com. Please do anything you can. It doesn't matter. The number doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like giving, we want you to do that.
Yeah, and there's a phone number, too. It's 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522. Give something, please, folks, $10,
well, $20. Well, this is your last chance. Yeah. I mean, I'm serious. This is an amazing campaign, and to say that you're involved in this, you know, you're going to say, hey, if I was alive during abolition times, I would have been on the right side of that.
Yeah.
Well, baloney, because here you are in abolition time. Right now, you have an opportunity. So take advantage of it, folks, please. This is not something that we're not asking much. Every $250 frees someone from slavery and sets them up in a life where they can really genuinely be free. It is a miraculous transformation, but it's only possible if you participate. And so to all of those who've not yet participated, folks, please, amazing opportunity. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. We've got a Peter McCullough for a few more seconds. Did you want to say anything, Albin, about what his comments were so far?
Just a couple of things, not getting too deeply into it, but when he mentioned Omicron and how if you get that, that actually helps you for the bigger issue of the big, you know, the big daddy that might slay you. So Omicron is more like a common cold as opposed to a flu that's going to last 3 weeks. And also the whole idea of mass psychosis, where we've all been trained now to think in a certain way.
Yeah.
And the solution is Dr. Jim Jones. You must take the Kool-Aid.
Yes, drink the Kool-Aid.
Drink
die.
The Kool-Aid. Which it was actually Flavor-Aid, not Kool-Aid.
Right. But. Right.
Yeah.
Listen, seriously, mm-hmm. We are living – I have to say this periodically on this program just to remind you. Folks, there are people around us, and it's very difficult to watch, people around us who are insane. They have gone insane. It's very painful to see it. But we have to be honest with each other, and you have to hang around people who are not insane to encourage each other that 1 + 1 still equals 2.
Yeah.
There are only 2 sexes.
Yes.
It's very simple. And, you know, the idea that somebody 1,000 feet from you not wearing a mask is an assassin because he's not wearing a mask. I mean, there are people let's be clear. These people have always been crazy. It's just that now it's being revealed. But don't abet it. Don't aid and abet the crazy. Be strong. Speak the truth. Be kind to people with whom you disagree. Okay, we're going to play right now a final few minutes with Dr. McCullough. And right after that, we've got a surprise. Folks, I'm talking to Dr. Peter McCullough. 30 seconds. It's unbelievable to me in America that we could have people saying you cannot use this drug. We're going to try to get it so you can't use the drug that is saving lives. Where's that coming from? At least if you can speculate, and then thank you.
I think it's part of an organized plan to promote as much fear, suffering, hospitalization, and death in order to get the population to accept mass vaccination on a very frequent basis now, every 3 months.
But why? That's what I don't get. The why and the who.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't have any secret connections to the stakeholders. People are writing books trying to figure this out. I told Tucker Carlson this on his long program back in May. His eyes got big as saucers. The same thing with Joe Rogan. It's been going on. We're 2 years into this, and believe me, people are still having trouble getting early treatment. And it's not just hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Now it's monoclonal antibodies. These are fully EUA approved, And still we don't, and you know, the one we need is a GSK product, and our federal government still is not providing an ample supply to us. And we've had since May, since it's been approved, to have us treat our high-risk seniors.
I know you have to go. We are grateful, Dr. McCulloch, for your time. God bless you and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric. Bye-bye.
I'm a lot like you were. Oh, man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were.
Folks, Eric Metaxas here. Somebody just handed me a piece of paper with insane information on it. But I know it's true because the other day I literally got a phone call from Mike Lindell telling me, Eric, you got to check out. And he, then he tells me about this towel special, right? And he says, you got to tell your audience. Okay, so here's the special. $39.99 if you use the code Eric. Normally $109.99. We're talking about the towels that work. We've talked about this before. It's a technology where the towels actually do the job of being absorbent and, you know that whole thing. So they're amazing towels, but you can get a set of six towels for $39.99. You have to use the code Eric. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, and or you can call 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057. Use the code Eric. Hey, folks, I don't mean to freak you out, but sometimes I'm verbally playful, and I like to do things like book Dr. Peter McCullough next to my friend Kevin McCullough, you know, just to be Nabokovian and clever. And so Kevin McCullough, maybe it's easier for us just today to call you Votstradamus so people know that you're not a medical doctor. You're a prognosticator of the political, of things political. Good to see you.
But you know, we are
friend.
In an election year, so it's time to pull the Votstradamus stuff back out, because I don't do a lot of predicting in the non-election years, but I can tell you how things are shaping up as we get closer to
Even when you're not predicting explicitly, you are predictive and prophetic in the way you talk about politics. So it's interesting to talk
to you.
But look, you
good to see you. Happy
are
New
a
year.
News guy. Happy New Year to you. Let me ask you something. Does my hair look dry to you? Do you think I need to use a different conditioner?
I don't know. I mean, anybody asking me about the condition of their hair is just cruel at this point.
What about my skin? Do you think I need a different astringent? I don't know why I'm talking about this. I just don't want to talk about anything serious because it's so depressing. Let's talk about something incredibly depressing. The what's that guy's name? Joe Biden? The political
Asterisk
hack.
President,
I always forget.
Call.
The guy who lives in Baltimore. What's his name?
Biden, yes.
Joe Biden. Okay, yeah. Let's talk about that. Did he give a speech yesterday of some kind?
He did. He and the asterisk vice president and the asterisk president both traveled to Atlanta yesterday to formally oppose the current voting rights reforms that Georgia has put in place there, and to try to advocate for the, quote, voting rights bill that they're going to have Chuck Schumer try to push through the Senate next week. It's not going to go anywhere because you don't have enough Democrats to support it, but that's not stopping them from trying to make the case.
Could I make a prediction since you're Votstradamus and sometimes I have things that I want to say that are predictive?
Sure.
I think if you remember the story of Herod's demise, I think it's possible that Joe Biden will be eaten by worms. I'm just saying that. I'm just putting that out there, man.
Eric,
but,
I think we all are at some point.
But he is
at
no,
some
but
point,
no, no, no,
we're
no.
All on the ground.
Before he's a corpse. I think I want to say before we get to what he said yesterday, what he said on January 6th. Never in my life have I been more disgusted with a political figure. I've never seen. I mean. It's one thing to say that people are playing politics. What he said on January 6th was so extraordinarily, unprecedentedly despicable that I was amazed. I was taken aback that because, You know, people who are experts at, you know, when they look at you, they can tell if you're lying. There's certain tells by the way you move your head or something like that.
Sure.
It really is almost astonishing to me that he was able to get those foul words out of his mouth. I was just watching it in awe of the level of lying I had never seen. I mean, it's one thing to differ with somebody politically. Fine. That's what America's all about. But he said some things that were just insidious lies about the former president, about those who voted for the former president. I thought, if anybody ever delegitimized themselves genuinely, what he said on January 6th, it just made him, he's dead, it's over. I don't know what's going to happen to him, but I do know that he crossed the line. I've never seen anything like it. I don't think I've said much about it on the air, but it really just was horrifying to me, and I grieve for my nation.
Well, Eric, the truth of what you're saying here, and I want your viewers to be clear that what you're talking about is the anniversary of January 6th, not the original January 6th.
Right. Yeah, just a few days ago. He made comments. Yep.
So much more now, a year later, than we did then. And it wasn't just him, Eric. That speech that he gave on January 6, 2022, kicked off an entire week of blatant, bald-faced fabrications made not just by the asterisk president, Mr. Biden, or the asterisk vice president, Kamala Harris. And she said some whoppers, too. She equated January 6 with the falling of the Twin Towers and saying that the suffering was of equitable nature and all this kind of nonsense. But that spilled over into Nancy Pelosi, who within another day said that it was a Trump supporter that had overrun the Capitol Hill gate and had actually tried to kill some people. You may remember vaguely that incident happening after January 6th. That was proven to be a Lou Farrakhan supporter who was an avowed Trump hater. So, you know, it's just another layer. Then you get to the end of last week, Eric, and you have these arguments for or against the vaccine mandate being made in the public session of the court. And they allow us to peek in and listen in on their things now. And the stuff that the left of center justices on the highest court, the most elite judicial authorities in the country, said and read into the record of this argument were mind-numbingly dishonest. Mr. Breyer, for example, said that within the previous 24 hours, 750 million new infections had been accounted for. Eric, we have less than 330 million people living in America. That's more than two infections per person.
That's a really stupid mistake, but it's not a vile lie in the way
I don't know that it is or not. You're giving him a great deal of grace there. But the creme de la creme was Sonia Sotomayor, in her persistence to try to throw off the counsel that was making the argument against the mandate, saying to them that there were 100,000 children in hospitals, many of them on ventilators. Eric, I went and looked up the data immediately. If you follow me on Instagram, you know that I've posted regularly the death rates of COVID positive people and heart disease and cancer. There are only 119,000 people hospitalized for COVID in the nation as we sat there that day. So you're saying 100,000 of them were children when the data shows that only 5 children are hospitalized out of every 100,000 hospitalizations. There were maybe 6 kids in the hospital, none of them on ventilators that I could find.
100,000. Who's counting? Hey, we're all about grace, bro.
And it's a whole consistent pattern, Eric, that they used to do kind of in the shade. They would make more implications than direct statements. They wouldn't campaign on things that were factually false. The left has lost its rooting, its mooring,
How many people do we know in the evangelical church who do not give a damn about this? They absolutely don't seem to understand that when leaders lie, when they do these kinds of things, it hurts people. We have many in the evangelical church who have absolutely turned a blind eye. Again, this rises to levels unprecedented in American life. I mean, it's one thing to say we have differences. This is a level of political theater, of lying and grandstanding that is so pernicious to the fabric of the republic. And we have many in the church who simply don't seem to care, or they think caring means being overly political. I mean, I just want to say I can't believe things could get to this level and people would just say, well, I'm not called to talk about that.
I know in some respects the perception of how it's going is related to who we interact with. And I will just tell you, in my sphere of activity and influence, in the pastors that I interact with, a lot of them here in the New York area, I've had a number of them actually apologize to me for doubting what I was saying going into the 2020 election, because what they have seen as the result of the Biden administration has been so far beyond what they would have found to be acceptable. They never would have stayed silent to the degree that they did, or even supportedly, tacitly, a Biden campaign the way they did. And I've actually accepted those apologies, because the point now is we've got another opportunity to impact the direction of the country coming up in less than 11 months, and we need to make sure that we're on board with the right information and we're able to make the right choices.
Kevin, let me just say, by the way, anytime anyone comes to his senses and apologizes, I am thrilled. This is not about grandstanding, I was right or whatever, but I think you're right that there are people that are seeing that what they signed up for, I think they're understanding that they're guilty. In other words, that they didn't listen to folks like us. They said, no, you're crazy, you're wrong, it's going to be good, he's going to unify the country. No one has ever been more incompetent and destructive as a president. Literally no one. I've never seen anything like it. And I think in a way, America needed a spanking. America needed to see how bad things can go super quickly if you elect somebody like this, like a just confirmed political hack who has never shown an ounce of vision or backbone except for his own purposes. It's terrible, but it's true, and I think people are waking up. So I'm glad to hear you say that, because we're going through crazy times, but I think we kind of needed to go through this ugly stuff to wake some people up. But it sounds like they're waking up.
Well, and again, that's partly – I have that perspective partly because that's my experience and the pastors that I've interacted with. You may be talking to people that have an entirely different opinion. So I know that there's still kind of a torn situation here. But I think what's interesting, Eric, and I would encourage your listeners and viewers to try this. Try to divorce the name of Trump from the policies of the previous 4 years, and the name of Biden from the policies that we've seen and the direction that we've seen in the last 13 months. And just compare the policies side by side. What's happened in the economy? What's happened to your own personal investment portfolio? What's happened on the issue of life? What's happening in the courtrooms and in the schoolrooms where parents are now standing up and challenging because there's such an onslaught of this progressive stuff coming at them? I think that and this is the thing I'm encouraged about, Eric. When in the Glenn Youngkin win in Virginia, and even in the Jack Cittarelli near win in New Jersey this last year, you had, I think, a more awakened electoral population than you had had even in the presidential election of 2020. And if they stay awake, the left may be woke, but I think that those of us that are center right are starting to wake up. And if we stay awake, we can do some good things about 10 months from now.
And I also think, that the lie that you can sort of separate politics and faith. Ironically, I think tons of people who see what's happening politically are drifting over to faith in God and to understanding that the only explanation for the level of madness and wickedness is, in fact, evil, that it doesn't really make any other kind of sense, that God has to be the answer because these problems don't seem the products of mere incompetence or difference of opinion.
Yeah.
We're going to drag you over into hour two. More McCullough, whether it's Peter, Kevin, who cares? Who's counting? We'll be right back.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.